You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
Welcome, everyone, to the Armed American Radio Network. Sounds good to say that. The program is brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. I'm your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist for Concealed Carry Magazine, the flagship publication of the USCCA, and one that you should be reading. If you would like to please get on board, join us at usconcealedcarry.com, usconcealedcarry.com, and join the crowd. My board operator tonight and producer is Sean. We have a new number for folks out there that would like to participate on the program. There'll be some changes in here this evening we'll talk about in just a little bit. Feel free to reach out to me at 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566. That's right. That's a new number. For those of you who have been paying attention, a new number reflects new things. But first, our lineup tonight. We'll talk about the new things in just a couple minutes. But our lineup tonight promises to make the hour fly right by as they usually do. Joining me in a few minutes will be Pastor Ken Pagano of New Bethel Church in Kentucky, who you may have seen featured on virtually every and any national news program for his open carry event held at the New Bethel Church in Kentucky a couple weeks back. Ken joins me in a few minutes to discuss that event. Also, clinical psychologist and author, as well as trainer and magazine columnist Bruce Eimer, will be joining me for what is his second appearance, and will not be his last appearance, on Armed American Radio to discuss a wide range of topics, including getting inside the head of a criminal mind, among other things. It's something you don't want to miss, so stick around. Before we get to our guests, we're very excited tonight, and we'd like to welcome our first syndicate, we would like to welcome you to our first syndicated broadcast. I'll get that out. Takes a couple minutes. First syndicated broadcast of the program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our two newest affiliates, Mountain Talk 97.1 FM in Mountain Home, Arkansas. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. And Smart Radio 700, KBYR, Anchorage, Alaska, America's last great frontier. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. Congratulations and welcome to everybody listening to us on both of those stations. We're glad to have you with us, and we're sure you'll enjoy listening to the program. It's exciting stuff, ladies and gentlemen, being on the satellite. It's kind of like having little droplets of AAR raining all over the United States and parts of Canada. Now all that we ask is your help in bringing us to your local dial. Please continue to contact your local talk stations and ask them to carry the broadcast. Direct them to armedamericanradio.org if they have any questions or for more information, and we'll continue to work towards bringing the show to your neck of the woods. We'll get there, but we'll get there faster with your help. Don't be shy. Call and ask the program director on your local talk station to feed your head with Armed American Radio every week on your local dial. Showtime, folks. Some emails. And if you joined me last week, you'll remember the one-eyed anti-gunner spelling bee contest winner, Shondon. Well, we have another one of those. I'll get to that in a second. You'll get a kick out of that. That thing was a riot. I don't know what it is with the anti-gunners and their inability to spell, but man, oh man, it's fun stuff to read. Here's one from William. I'm currently a subscriber to USCCA, unable to receive your broadcast in the Farmington, Missouri area. Have worked as a policeman for 10 years, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, also for a government agency for 20 years as field agent and instructor. Have been employed as an executive bodyguard and armed courier for a bank in Switzerland. Keep up the fight to educate the masses about citizens' rights and the need to protect one's loved one and property. We certainly will do that, William, and thanks for writing in. Keith writes in, I'm a new listener, just discovered the show last weekend. Since I'm in Ohio, I've subscribed to your podcast. I love the show. You're an absolute natural. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate that. So far, I'm up to the 6-7 broadcast and look forward to each opportunity to listen to another episode. Keep up the great work. You can count on it. That's what we're doing here, and thanks for listening. Daniel says, I love this show. I'm catching up on all of the broadcasts and hope to hear it locally eventually. Keep up the great work. I hope the show stays on the air for a long time. So do we, Daniel. And it will. Let's see, what else we got here? Mark, I really enjoyed your program and listened to it on my computer. I would like to see you get away from the political side of the scene and go towards the laws in the different states. Talk about gun calibers, double action versus single action, pistols, people's encounters with bad people, and why we are arming ourselves. Keep up the great talk, and I will be listening. That's Keith in Florida. Keith, that's a great point. However, I have to make this point as well in reflection here, you know, politics and guns are unfortunately inseparable in today's environment. We have to talk about both. We'll try to get away from talking about the Obama and the Pied Piper of D.C. and everything else that we touch on from time to time. but they're inseparable. So we have no choice but to keep the politics involved to a certain extent. Here's one from Lyle. Mark, just love the show of yours, and it's great that you have taken it on yourself to get this going and letting the people know what is going on out there in Obama land and our gun rights. Well, we appreciate that very much, Lyle. Keep listening. Mark, great job on the radio, having a heck of a time enjoying it. Finally, a program that tells the truth about American rights concerning Second Amendment issues. I'm a member of USCCA and would recommend all Americans who understand the importance of self-defense and freedom join the organization. Take good care. Keep up the work. Country needs you. I'm not so sure about that, but we appreciate it. That's from Richard. Richard, thank you very, very much. This one here is a little bit of note on a follow-up we discussed with New Hampshire last week. And this comes into us from Deb. Deb says, hi, Mark. I heard you talking on the last show about New Hampshire CCW being $20. Wanted to give you a heads up. New Hampshire has introduced a bill to increase their CCW fees by 500%. See the story at NRA ILA. Thanks for a great show and congrats on the syndication. Deb Sefton, Charlotte, North Carolina, thank you so much for those kind words and for putting that information out there. It's important that people get involved. If you're up in the New Hampshire area, please write to and talk to whoever you need to talk to try to put that to a stop. Here's the final letter I'm going to read here from, and again, it's a negative one, and we love getting these, so keep them coming in. It says, this show seems to be geared towards those that love and clinch onto their guns more than life itself. I'm a gun owner and just don't feel the need to listen to a show that talks about guns all day. We're only on for an hour, so I don't know where the all day comes from. I'm too busy, and sadly some people use these types of shows and the power and thought of being a gun owner to fill a empty void in their lives. T-H-E-R-E. We're back to the Chandon thing here. You can see pure ignorance, and ignorance is spelled I-G-O-R-N-A-N-T-S. Guys, break out a dictionary here and check it out. I'm not making this stuff up. When Sharon attacked Chandon's comment by saying he must be a Obama supporter, and then in parentheses he puts, what a idiotic thing to say. Wow. Believe me when I tell you Obama's not going to take your guns away, so calm down and stop clinching. Okay, we'll do that, Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith writes in, and we'll not worry about the comments Obama has made, and we won't pay attention to what he puts up on his own websites about his intent to take away our firearm rights or restrict them heavily. Having said all that, let me get to my first guest. Ken Pagano joins us. Pastor Ken Pagano joins us this evening from Louisville, Kentucky. Ken, are you with us on Armed American Radio? Welcome to the program.
I am here. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what. You've had one heck of a busy 2 weeks, have you not?
No, it's been longer than that. It started the end of May. This last past month has been the longest year of my life.
Oh, I can't even imagine being put in the national spotlight like you have been. Ken, let's tell the listeners from the beginning why you're on Armed American Radio and about the open carry event that you had in Kentucky. Can you start us from the beginning?
Sure. I've been a pastor of this church for 10 years. I've been in the ministry for 30. Former Marine, former EMT. I'm a Louisville police chaplain. I am a certified concealed carry weapons instructor. Been a concealed carry holder since it first came out in our state back in, I think, 95, 96, something like that. We wanted to do some outside-of-the-box thinking as a church, you know, to promote our faith, which we do as Christians. We also wanted to do something I thought that would tie in with our celebration of our independence as Americans and the celebration of our Second and First Amendment rights. And we also wanted to tie it in with promoting responsible gun ownership and firearm safety. So for some reason, it just came to my mind, about a year ago, we kicked it around. And I thought, hey, let's have an open carry celebration. Kentucky is an open carry state. It'll do something to, you know, we thought it would just attract a little bit of a local attention. We would have just been happy, you know, to just impact our part of Louisville, Kentucky. And little did we realize what a firestorm this thing started.
And it really did, too, didn't it?
It went, you know, we were on the daily front pages of the China Daily News. We were in Russia, live radio and television in Australia and Ireland and London and Saskatchewan. I mean, there's places I don't even remember anymore. I really don't. And I just was utterly, you know, overseas I can understand it, say in Ireland or Great Britain or Australia, you know, because they don't have the Second Amendment, but you know, I was utterly amazed at with all the intelligence and higher education that we have in this country, it is just astounding how much ignorance is out there by supposedly educated people who thought that somehow a belief in God and guns was something that was contradictory, was incongruous. It's a historical fact that has, I think what we did was biblical. It wasn't immoral. It wasn't illegal. It's constitutionally protected here in this state, and it's constitutionally protected by the Second Amendment.
Well,
and
let's tell everybody, Pastor, that what you did was you wanted everybody to come to church openly carrying their handguns, and I want to point out that they were unloaded.
Yes, yes. Here's what it is. We didn't want to do this as a church worship service, though it was a church.
Pastor, I need to ask you to hold on to that thought with me. We're going to bring you right back after the music here. We'll be back, everybody, on Armed American Radio with Pastor Ken Pagano, and we'll be bringing Dr. Bruce Eimer in shortly.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's 3-Step Plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the 3-Step Plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy. And if we can set ourselves up in business and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
The outlandish claims are everywhere. Settle your debt for pennies on the dollar. Trinity wants you to know the whole truth about debt settlement plans. Fact, most debt settlement clients pay thousands in upfront fees only to end up in bankruptcy with their credit scores ruined. It's true. With debt settlement, your creditors can sue you, forcing you to sell your assets and surrender your paycheck to wage garnishment. If you have a sincere desire to meet your obligations, remember this. Trinity has been a loyal member of the Christian Radio family for more than 20 years. Let us show you how to work within your budget, pay off your debt, save thousands, improve your credit rating, and preserve your good name. Call 1-800-936-5348. That's 1-800-936-5348. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-936-5348.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Armed American Radio Network. We're on live with Ken Pagano, Pastor Ken Pagano. And before we get started back there in that following up with our discussion with Ken, I want to let our new listeners know that one of the premises of this program, folks, is exactly what the pastor is talking about. The Second Amendment ain't open for debate on this program. And I don't want to sound like Shonden and Mr. Chris Smith, so we'll just say that properly again. The Second Amendment isn't open for discussion on this program. It means what it says. It says what it means. We have an enumerated right in this country. It is our birthright to keep and bear arms. And thank God for Pastor Ken Pagano out there. Ken, can you continue where we were here talking about the open carry event at your New Bethel Church?
Sure. In Kentucky, open carry is perfectly legal. And nothing wrong with that. Now, as a concealed carry weapons instructor, it's not necessarily what I advocate or promote. What you might be able to do out in the outskirts of Kentucky is one thing. What you do in Louisville might be another because of the quote-unquote soccer moms. That's why I promote concealed carry. But for this event, we wanted to do it in church. And it's not a, it wasn't a worship service. It's not what we do on our Christian Sabbath, which we celebrate on Sunday. This was on a Saturday. It was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the Saturday before the 4th of July. We wanted to make it kind of a celebrative festival event, and we just said, hey, let's tell people to come open carry, cold range. And anybody who's been involved in competitive sports shooting, and I've been in the competitive shooting sports for 20 years, cold range is very typical of ranges around here. Just means a firearm unloaded and in a secure holster, because we're not a firing range. We are a church. We are a private entity, and because of insurance purposes. And one thing I've learned, just because a person might have a legal right to own a firearm doesn't mean they're necessarily a safe or responsible firearm owner. I wish that were not the case, but it's true because I've been involved in it for so long. Just because a person owns a car doesn't mean they're a safe driver. So I know that there are people, concealed carry is perfectly legal, and I'm sure there were many people who carried concealed hot in our event. That's no problem. They do that. Some people do it every Sunday. If I don't see it, I don't care. That's no big deal.
But Pastor, I remember watching you on Fox News a couple weeks back.
Okay.
Now, thanks to the magic of the DVR, I was able to record the program and catch it later in the evening after working hours and when I had some time and the kids were in bed. And you know, we talked about this last week. I think Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends in the Morning.
Okay.
Who is normally a very conservative individual. I think I've agreed with pretty much everything he said, or right, at least most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Made the comment to you when you had when you were on the program in the morning and said that it was, you know, everything was safe. You know, we had no problems. And Brian Kilmeade jumped in, and in his big city slicker elitist self, he really showed his true colors when he said, "So you've got a gun carrying event at your church, and it because it went off okay because nobody got hurt." Almost as if, you know, these people just can't seem to wrap their heads around the fact that law-abiding people,
thank you,
are not criminals. And
exactly.
And we say this all the time, and you know, I'm not going to fault him. He lives in a concrete enclave out there, and he probably doesn't get out
there. Wait a minute. I'm from New Jersey. I was raised there. I know the mindset, and I appreciate Fox and Friends, and I admire Brian Kilmeade. But you want to know something? That Northeastern, and I'm saying this specifically in this area, there's a northeastern mindset mentality as if a gun, for some reason, just because a person possesses it, it has some spirit that comes upon you that automatically makes you into some serial killer, deranged maniac. It is not. It is an inanimate object. And one of the things we wanted to do was say, hey, there are logical, reasonable, educated, law-abiding, community-oriented people, and in this case, people who are affiliated with worship of God, who are gun owners. We own them for sport, for recreation, but we also know that if we had to, they are, yeah, the last and final line in self-defense. And we don't consider, I do not consider a gun an instrument of evil. It may be used that way, but also it's a matter of perspective. If a bad guy is coming at me, my wife, or my congregation, and they're in front of my muzzle, then that firearm will be an instrument of harm to them. But for me and those behind it, it is an instrument of life and liberty. Our founding fathers understood that. there, not all of them, but many of them were Christians. There were laws on the books that Christian people were had to bring their firearms to church when this country still existed as colonies. You know, Brian Kilmeade comes from a Roman Catholic background. I was raised that way. And, you know, there's a fellow by the name of St. Gabriel Pacente, and there is an organization that is trying to see him. He's already canonized as a saint in the Roman Catholic Church. There's a push on to see him recognized as the patron saint of handgunners because he protected his village from the attacking of some soldiers who went AWOL and were raping a girl or about to rape a girl when he grabbed some Navy 36s out of their belts and fired and stopped them with his shooting abilities and protected the town. So this stuff is not incongruous with being a Christian or an American. Hey,
you've seen the movie The Patriot, I'm certain.
Sure. Okay. I mean, and why wasn't that on television? I don't know why. I had to get out my DVD. The only thing that was even closely oriented to something that had any type of patriotic symbolism was, you know, Yankee Doodle Dandy, and that was fine. But I was really amazed that with all the channels that I've got on my television, there was hardly anything out there. But The Patriot's great.
Yeah, you know that. You know the scene I'm referring to when Heath Ledger comes to the church and,
yes.
and asks the men to bear their own arms
mm-hmm.
in defense of their homeland, their own arms. That's the embodiment of the Second Amendment.
Yes, it is.
The Second Amendment ain't about hunting.
No,
it's about that scene, and it's very well portrayed by Heath Ledger and Mel Gibson and the rest of the cast in that movie. And, you know, if you haven't seen it, listeners, by all means rent it. Do what you have to do, but see it. It embodies the Second Amendment. Pastor, you know, it's interesting because he went to the church. Wasn't that the central meeting point?
Sure.
Or place?
In every town at that time during the development and the growth of our country, towns were built around the church. That was the central location for worship, for, you know, public gatherings, for protection. It was the church. And there were many, many churches still in New England. You know, they're historic buildings now, but you can go in there and find gun racks in the back of the buildings where, you know, the soldiers brought their firearms to church or people brought their firearms to church even before we were involved in the Revolution. It was just a natural understanding that, people had the right to protect themselves and their loved ones whenever necessary.
Yeah, it's a fascinating argument to me because we say on this program time and time again that we don't understand the anti-gun mentality. Well, we do. We don't. It's an emotional argument. It's
yes.
not something based on fact, and I'm sure that you saw that.
Tell
us about some of the interviews that you did. Were you ever attacked for your views?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, you know, it was a long ride. But you want to know something? The event did what we wanted it to do by promoting gun rights and self-protection and First Amendment, Second Amendment, our history, and our belief as Christians. We don't see any contradiction, belief in God or guns. We don't see that at all. But I was just really astounded by people who really I thought should have known better, at least should have known the history behind this, but the knee-jerk reaction. Again, I can understand it from someone from another country, I think, but I mean, even self-protection, that's just a law of nature.
Oh, I tell you what. Well, listen, Pastor, thank you so much for joining us on Armed American
thank
Radio.
You.
We could keep going with you for the rest of the hour. We're going to bring our second guest in, Bruce Eimer, after the break. Thanks a lot for everything that you did for us. We appreciate it, Pastor Ken, and we'll talk to you soon. Everybody stick around. You're on the Armed American Radio Network.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Oh, yes, and all the soldiers fighting in Vietnam had to do a thing called machine gun.
Kind of like to listen to that. I haven't heard that in a long time. Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. We're joined for this segment, for the rest of the program, by Dr. Bruce Eimer, noted author, clinical psychologist, firearms trainer, and all-around great guy and friend of mine, as well as a co-writer for Concealed Carry Magazine. Dr. Bruce Eimer, how are you this evening, and welcome back to Armed American Radio.
Hello, Mark. I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. An hour's not enough time. We went over a little bit with Ken Pagano, with Pastor Ken Pagano, but we've got you for the next half hour, and you will be on many more times. So let's dig into the meat of what we wanted to talk about a little bit tonight, Bruce, okay?
Yes, sir.
Where to start? We talk a lot, you and I do.
Yes, we do.
And prior to this show, we discussed a number of issues that I think the listeners will find fascinating. And I would like to go back first off and pick on your clinical psychologist brain here for just a minute, okay?
Absolutely.
It's important. You know, what's the old saying, Bruce? The best gunfight is the one you're never in?
Exactly.
Okay, and if we can tell our listeners and ourselves, me, you, anybody listening out there, how to avoid a violent confrontation at all cost, any tool that we have in the toolbox makes a difference.
Absolutely.
And shadowy figures, shadow figures, actually. Assessing Criminal Threats, which appeared in Concealed Carry Magazine February-March 2009 issue, was a wonderful article written by Bill Oliver. And I expect that I would like to have Bill on the program here. I don't want to steal a lot of his thunder, but you're familiar with that piece. Let's talk about it, because it means so much from someone who has spoken to the criminal mind for 20 years of his life, and what you take away from that. I want your opinions on that.
Absolutely. Bill Oliver, who I don't know personally, wrote that article about shadow figures in Concealed Carry Magazine based on his 20-plus years of experience as a mental health technician in various prison facilities. And that article was very, very well done. In that article, basically, he talked about what makes violent criminals tick, and the interface between what makes them tick and how you can avoid being victimized by them.
I think the most important part, and I'm looking at the article here, and it was wonderfully written, and it's Bill Oliver's first contribution to Concealed Carry Magazine, and it says a lot about the quality of the magazine. And I'm going to go ahead and plug the USCCA here. If you're not a member, especially to our newest listeners around the country, please join us at www.usconcealedcarry.com. This is dynamite stuff and could be life-saving. But, Bruce, he says here, violence is not personal is a topic of one of his sections of the column.
Yes.
And I want to quote here, okay?
Sure.
To you and me, the idea of being targeted for victimization is very personal and life-altering, but to the violent predator, you are an object to be moved out of the way to get his need met. He has spent a lifetime rationalizing his actions, and you are simply the means to an end. More often than not, the violent predator will be under the influence of drugs, alcohol, or psychological desensitization, which makes it much easier to do anything to you. Talk to us about psychological desensitization, and is there any type of signal or sign that people give off so that we might be able to see something coming from somebody?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. If you're talking about being able to identify somebody as being psychologically desensitized to committing violence against innocent people, certainly people that know an individual that has no morals and is evil are going to know that. It's not something that can be very well hidden, because people of all varieties, I mean, all of us have thoughts in our heads and fantasies of revenge against people that have harmed us or wronged us, but the ultimate test is what a person does. And the ultimate predictor of a person's future behavior is their past behavior. So, you know, if you're talking about people who know somebody and know that that person is capable of violent tendencies against people that are innocent for purposes of victimizing them for personal gain, then it's a no-brainer. And if you're talking about the other issue of being on the street and being able to pick up signs that you're around somebody who maybe has picked you out as a potential victim, that also is a kind of a no-brainer, and we can discuss that, but that's a different issue.
Well, let me ask you this, because I found myself in this situation, and I would bet my bottom dollar that most people have, where a stranger approaches you on the street, you don't feel threatened initially, but they're being overly nice, and it kind of weirds you out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? Like, what are you doing here? Go away. I don't want you near me. And I mean, I've had people do that to me over the course of my 47 years.
Me too.
But what you were just talking about, though, are we talking about sociopathic behavior? Or talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay. You know, for a long time, I've been on a soapbox of essentially advocating that we don't medicalize immoral and evil behavior. And the fact that the category psychopath, that there's no categories for psychopath in the essentially the encyclopedia and the Bible for psychiatric illness, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which is published by the American Psychiatric Association, proves that there is no such medical category as psychopath. Now, there is a category, and there is no category for sociopath either. There is a category in the American Psychiatric Association's manual for something called antisocial personality disorder. And it has a lot of the characteristics of what people associate with a sociopath, in the sense of, you know, in order for somebody to be diagnosed with that type of personality disorder, they have to fit several criteria, the most notable of which is
a history of failure since adolescence to conform to social norms and to, of performing acts that are illegal, and consistent irresponsibility in terms of reckless disregard for the safety of self or others. My beef with that is that by putting that category in essentially a book that is used by doctors to diagnose people medically, it can be used, and in fact is used very often by defense attorneys to basically get violent criminals off the hook and to not necessarily claim that they're not guilty by reason of insanity, but to claim that they have mental illness and that therefore their guilt is partly due to, you know, the abuse excuse that they had abusive upbringings or that they have some kind of mental derangement.
Yeah,
and I have
we hear this all the time and from every defense attorney. And how many times does it make you want to turn the dial, throw up, you get sick of hearing it? There are
Absolutely.
Too many people who come from those backgrounds that turn out wonderful. In fact, most people do.
Absolutely.
Okay? Most people are not psychopathic, wacko scumbags that prey on other people. Most people aren't. Now, when you follow a 24-hour news cycle and you get it beaten into your head all day, you might start questioning some of your realities. But, Bruce, you know, he made another point in here that he's, and this is so important. Usually violent offenders have a history behind bars.
Right.
And in prison, it is a deadly mistake to telegraph your intent to be violent.
Right.
So they learn that the best way to launch an attack is by being casual, smiling, and not drawing attention before the attack.
Deception.
This often means engaging in conversation or other interaction before a violent attack. So here we've got to tell people, you got to watch out for the guy not real friendly, and you've also got to watch out for the guy or girl that's being overly friendly.
Oh, yeah.
Masoud Ayoub said it best on this program, Bruce. Criminals don't make an appointment, do they?
The devil doesn't have horns, you know.
He looks just like one of us, doesn't he?
Exactly. You know, that's the devil's greatest secret, that people believe the devil never existed. The fact is that people have to be very wary of people that get into their space. There was an incident the other day that reflected my indoctrination of my older daughter. She was at her boyfriend's. Her boyfriend wasn't there. The neighbors were not there. It was, today's Sunday, so it was Saturday afternoon. It was a sunny day up here in the Northeast in Philadelphia in the suburbs, and she was there with her two girlfriends. They were sunning themselves at the pool. And some guy comes to the gate of the backyard, and my daughter noticed them. Her two friends didn't. So to my daughter's credit, she was aware. She was wearing her awareness hat. She was in condition yellow. She, went to the gate, and she asked the guy, what did
Bruce,
you want?
Bruce, I hate to do this.
Go ahead.
But we've got music. We've got 30 seconds here.
I'll remember where I am.
Stop right there. Bookmark it. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, everybody, and we'll be right back with Dr. Bruce Eimer after the break.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today, at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Ben Heath. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
We are back.
Hello.
On Armed American Radio Network. Dr. Eimer, we're being listened to in Alaska. And I want to.
Hello, Alaska.
In Alaska, in Anchorage, Alaska. And I think that's pretty cool. And I'm a big fan of The Deadliest Catch. And maybe we ought to reach out to some of those captains out there on some of those crab fishing boats, because I guarantee you they've got guns on those boats. And I bet you it's more than a five-shot snubby air weight. What do you think?
As they should. As they should.
You better believe it. Let's go back to the conversation about your daughter. It's a frightening story, and it was handled very well. Please, continue from the bookmark.
I indoctrinated my daughter well. Basically, guy in T-shirt and shorts, 20-something, comes to the gate. He asks my daughter, "You girls want to buy steaks?" So my daughter says, "No, we're not interested." She looks him squarely in the eyes and says, "No, we're not interested. But my boyfriend will be home in a couple of minutes." The guy backed off. She goes to her two friends, who are still out there sunning themselves. She urges the two of her complacent friends that they vacate. Her friends at first are resistant, but fortunately my daughter had the wheels, so they took off. She calls her boyfriend up when they're in the car. There was no sign of the guy, so there's no way, no indication of how he entered or exited the little community. Boyfriend says, and he's a good guy, but he basically got indignant and, angry, and he said, "You should have told him to get the blank out of there." But that wouldn't have been the thing to do. What my daughter did was absolutely right. First of all, she had mental preparedness in the mindset. She knew that this guy was out of place and that he was up to no good. Second of all, even though she hasn't practiced the kind of tape loops that I teach in the courses that I teach on armed self-defense and unarmed self-defense, things like, "I'm sorry, sir, I can't help you, please leave me alone, thank you anyway, but just leave me alone," and, the kind of tape loops that you need to rehearse in your head so you know how to respond to miscreants, she still responded very, very well, and she also had the readiness to escalate her response if it were necessary, but it wasn't necessary, fortunately.
Yeah, what you did was you taught her how to de-escalate a situation, am I right?
Absolutely.
And get the heck out of Dodge.
The guy was probably what a friend of mine named John Farnham likes to call an instrumental violent criminal actor, which basically means a sociopath or a psychopath that will do to anybody what he needs to do because anybody is just an object to him to get his ends met, whatever his ends were in this particular case. And that's to be differentiated by someone that might be categorized, again, I credit my friend and mentor John Farnham with this category, somebody that might fall into the category of an expressive violent criminal actor. And thank God that wasn't the kind of person that was at the gate, because if he was an expressive violent criminal actor, another term for that is somebody that's very impulsive and explosive and basically just acts out regardless of whether or not it serves his ends. So then they would have been kind of in trouble considering that they weren't armed. But fortunately, he was probably looking to take advantage, to prey on them. He saw, you know, by the way she looked at him and her response, that she was serious and that they weren't, you know, they weren't going to be complacent prey.
A couple weeks back, we had Rob Pincus and Mike Janich from the Best Defense TV, and a fantastic program it was. These guys are the best at what they teach. If you've ever seen the program, if you've ever watched The Best Defense, and it's running right now, it's new season, folks, listen, check it out. It's on the Outdoor Channel, The Best Defense Survival. They talk about de-escalation. A lot of people say, you guys are paranoid. You're paranoid. You everything, you know. The fact of the matter is, this is not a nice world.
No.
There are bad people out there. Evil exists.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's the person, Bruce, who's not thinking like your daughter was that winds up. And, you go back to that Holloway, that horrible tragedy down there in Aruba.
Horrible. She wasn't thinking.
She wasn't using her head. And you know, I don't want to blame her for what happened. But, you know, you've got to keep your eyes open, people, because there are people out there. That's the reason you carry a gun.
You have to go out wherever you are, even in your own house. Even in your own house, you can't afford to be in condition white. Condition white is where, you know, Jeff Cooper, who's the father of modern use of the handgun, he basically codified a system for talking about levels of awareness. Condition white is where you're totally unaware. Basically, your nose is in your belly button.
You're clueless.
You can't afford to be in that condition even in your house.
Let's talk about that for 1 second. Let's analyze that for a second. That's the woman walking through the parking lot, fumbling with her keys, not paying attention, with a baby in one arm, pushing a shopping cart.
Right.
This is what a criminal is looking for.
Yeah, looking down, not looking around, maybe talking on a cell phone, you know. And there's a certain look that says, victimize me. She's crying out to be victimized by some immoral, evil SOB.
Yeah, now, we see it every day. It's happening right now across the country right now today. It's
absolutely
happening right now as we speak. Let's go into the other conditions. Go ahead and cover these. This is important for listeners.
Very important. Condition yellow, which is a ready state of alertness. It's kind of a relaxed state of alertness. Basically, I mean, you're not tense or high-strung like I sometimes tend to be, but you're aware of everything that's going on. You're taking in the world around you, so you're aware of your 360-degree environment, and you're ready to notice if something doesn't look right.
Now, let's take the woman walking through the parking lot again with the baby.
Yep.
Okay.
So
use that as an example. Where's condition yellow? Where is she in condition yellow? She's moving her head. She's looking around.
She's
aware
head,
of footsteps behind
she's looking
her.
Looking around, and she also has a plan. God forbid she's attacked, that she knows what she's going to do with the infant to handle the threat. So her hands are not completely tied up. And, you know, if, you know, her hands have to be tied up, she has a plan for putting the baby down and, you know, essentially deploying her hands to defend herself. And
whether she has a weapon on her person or not.
Well, I think she should. She may not. Whether or not she does or not doesn't define whether or not she's in condition yellow. She needs to have, to be in condition yellow, she basically needs to be aware of what's going on around her so that if there is something that looks out of kilter, she can escalate her level of awareness or focus, if you will, to what the next stage is, which has been called condition orange. And condition orange is the state of mind where you notice that something's wrong and something looks like it might be dangerous. And, you know, basically your alertness is peaked and now you're going to look at that and you're going to, you know, attempt to deal with that, mobilize your resources to defend yourself. So that would mean at that point she would have to have a plan beforehand. This is not something that you can just make up as you go along.
Now let's go back to the woman coming through the parking lot. She's got the baby, got the keys, got the purse.
Right.
She's in condition orange. Now she's noticing the couple or the two gentlemen leaning against her car. She's paying attention. She doesn't see it when she walks up on the car. She sees it before she gets to the car.
That's right.
Okay.
So at that point, what she might do is, first of all, hopefully, she has the baby in a carriage or in one of those shopping carts where they have the seat in the front for the baby so that she can get her hands free. And at that point, she would reverse course and go back to where it would be safe rather than to go off into the wilderness of the far end of the parking lot where her van is probably parked. And if she has a weapon on her, whether it be pepper spray or whether it be a baton of some kind, whether it be a knife, whether it be hopefully a firearm, that she at this point has immediate access to it and is prepared to deploy it if, this lady, who of course there's a disparity of force between her and one guy, let alone two or three, she'll be justified in, brandishing it if they come to her and start to indicate that they don't have honorable intentions.
Take it up to the next level.
Well, the next level is basically the level where she would have to deploy some kind of serious force in order to survive, prevail rather than survive, which means defeat the enemy, the opponent, the attacker. That's condition red. Okay, and condition red basically is, your weapons are ready, you've sought whatever cover there is, basically in this case, of course, the baby needs to be placed in such a way that she's between the men and the baby, who the hell with the packages, the packages can be used as a way of disrupting their attack by throwing at them the packages or whatever she has in her hand. I recommend that women do not carry, and men as well, do not carry firearms, handguns in pocketbooks and purses and things of that nature, because the purse can be a weapon that you can deploy in various ways, one of which is to just hit the person like a flail with the purse, and another way, of course, is to throw the purse at them to distract them, and hopefully that distraction will give you time to do what you got to do. So if you have a handgun in there, that's not going to help. So I recommend that women carry handguns on their person, even if it's inconvenient or less comfortable than it is for men of different builds. But that's condition red, and condition black sometimes is used to describe when the fight is on.
Bruce,
I tend to lump it into red.
I hate to do this. We've got a little bit under a minute here, and I want to keep you on the phone while we close out this show. But I want to thank everybody and our listeners across the country at our newest affiliate stations for joining us on Armed American Radio. You've been listening to Dr. Bruce Eimer and Pastor Ken Pagano. Join us next week on Armed American Radio Network when we'll be talking with Skip Coryell, noted Second Amendment author, 6 books, great stuff. Stick around, everybody, because Armed American Radio is coming to your neck of the woods. Catch you next week on Armed American Radio, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.